For almost 40 years now, as I've shared my faith, I've heard it said to me, but Jews don't believe in Jesus. Today, you'll hear why this Jew does believe in Jesus.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Look, come on. If Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, the rabbis would obviously believe in him. The religious leaders of Jesus' day would have surely believed in him. Jews around the world would believe in him. Obviously, he's not the Messiah because Jews don't believe in Jesus, right? Actually, not right. I'm here to tell you why. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or you can weigh in at Facebook, where I've asked the question, if you're a Jewish believer in Jesus, what was it that caused you to believe? Here's how to weigh in on Facebook. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, or if you'd like a host of Jewish-related resources that will help you share the good news of Jesus Yeshua with Jewish friends and answer objections, questions, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on The Line of Fire. I am truly delighted to be with you. And if you're just tuning in, just getting to know us, what we try to do each week on The Line of Fire is devote certain days to certain themes, subjects. Now, if major things happen in the news, in the world, that we just feel we need to address, we'll deviate from that. Mondays, we kind of leave wide open because of what happens over the weekend and just trying to get the mind of the Lord what we need to talk about on a Monday. Tuesdays, we do our best to focus on biblical, theological, apologetic-related subjects. Wednesday, moral, social issues, how we apply the gospel to those questions, issues. Thursday, Jewish, Israel related. And then Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers. So here's which means you can call in on a Friday on just about anything under the sun that relates to our areas of expertise, and we will talk about those things on the broadcast. But I want to give an open invitation. Today, if you are a Jewish believer in Jesus, won't have a chance to hear your whole testimony, maybe an amazing, wonderful testimony, won't be able to hear that. However, if there is a key reason why you as a Jew believe in Jesus Yeshua, either how you came to him or why today you are so convinced he is our Messiah, phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH. Now, I want to give another invitation. If you are a Jew that does not believe in Jesus, if you are a rabbi, if you are a counter-missionary, if you are a professor, if you are simply a secular Jew, whoever, and you do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah, I'd love to hear from you. We will allow you to speak. I don't mean take 20 minutes of the broadcast without me responding, but I'm not going to cut you off in a rude way. I want to find out why you do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, I want to take this a step further. I won't always be able to do this, but as much as possible on Thursdays, if you are a Jewish person that does not believe in Jesus, we would love to hear from you and find out why and respond to you graciously and respectfully. I'm saying this as a Jewish follower of Jewish, married to a Jewish woman who is a Jewish follower of Jesus, with both of our parents being Jewish. And having studied these issues intensively for almost 40 years now, I want to tell you on the broadcast why I, as a Jew, believe in Jesus Yeshua. Now, let me take this one step further. From time to time, we'll be talking about contemporary Israel, what's happening in Israel today. I'm going to be giving you some updates on the other side of the break, along with some really neat news. So that'll be coming your way in the next few minutes. But we'll be talking about Israel today, Israel and the Palestinians, Israel and the peace process, Israel and prophecy, and those kinds of questions, evaluating them, addressing them. If you do not believe that Israel today has any relevance, if you do not believe that God is working in modern Israel today as a distinct people to whom there are promises, we'd love to hear from you too. All right, a whole lot coming your way today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, before we dive into our Israel-Jewish focus today, I've got some really neat news to share with you. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on The Line of Fire, your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. Believing that as God awakens the church, we can awaken society in the name of Jesus by the life and power of the Spirit. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Okay, yesterday I talked to you about my burden to reach out and resist, reach out to the homosexual community with compassion, resist gay activism with courage. I told you about this major book I've worked on for the better part of 6 years, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which finally just came out this week. We got our first shipment on Monday. We encourage you to go online to Amazon and order. And the reason we encourage you to do that, it's kind of an evangelistic thing to do because it gets the ratings up on Amazon legitimately through orders, nothing dishonest or hyping about it, just getting people to order from one particular secular source. But it gets the book into the eyes of more secular readers, those that would not normally pick the book up. And Amazon has listed it in a gay and lesbian nonfiction. Well, as of early afternoon today, A Queer Thing Happened to America and What a Long, Strange Trip It's Been made it to number one on gay and lesbian nonfiction on Amazon, which means a lot of gay and lesbian readers are going to pick the book up and get a lot to think about and see things from angles that perhaps they hadn't seen them before. Isn't that extraordinary? So if you have not yet placed your order, do it. Not only will you be deeply blessed and changed as you read the book. Trust me on that. I've poured my life into this. I know the contents of it. I know how it impacted you and opened your eyes. But not only will you be blessed and equipped and strengthened and able to answer the difficult questions of the day and have your own conscience awakened, but many others will now see this book and read it that might not read it otherwise. We want to speak not just to those that agree with us, but to those who don't agree with us. All right? So if you haven't gone to Amazon.com, do it and order A Queer Thing Happened to America. And thanks for all those that ordered yesterday. We are making a difference. Together, we can make a difference. All right. Why this Jew believes in Jesus. That's what we're focusing on today, talking about today. And then a little later in the broadcast, I'm going to bring you some updates of some important things happening in Israel and some world opinion regarding Israel. Okay. When I came to faith at the age of 16, all right, as I've shared my testimony from LSD to PhD, heavy drug using, rock drumming rebel that God wonderfully, mercifully saved. When I came to faith, I have to be very honest with you. My number one biggest issue was pride. That was the biggest thing, to have to say on any level that I was wrong, to have to say on any level that my friends were right. Pride was my number one issue. Number two, and a very close number two, was my love for drugs. My love for drugs and the sinful lifestyle I was living. I mean, I was not strung out on drugs. I was not overdosing and in some clinic. I hadn't watched all my friends die. I was still at that young, infatuated stage of addicted to the sinful lifestyle and thinking it was so great. I hadn't fully paid the price for it yet. So that was the big thing. You know, I can't be a drug addict rock star, which was my whole life goal at that point. That was the biggest thing. A distant third was the fact that I was Jewish. That was a distant third. Why? Because I was not a religious Jew growing up. I grew up Long Island conservative Judaism. I'm sure there were folks in the synagogue that were more religious than I was. But for the most part, it was kind of a high holy day religion. Be like some of you were raised nominal Christian and you went to church for Christmas, for Easter, for water baptism, for confirmation, for weddings, special events. That was kind of my Judaism. I didn't know that there was a very devoted, very serious, very intense, committed Judaism that my forefathers and previous generations had held to, generations before my grandparents, because my grandfather, who I never met on my dad's side, was secular. And grandfather on mother's side, never met him, and secular as well from what I know. In any case, I didn't know that there were really religious Jews that were studying and praying for hours a day. What I did hear about religious Jews, my impression was, the way I was told, they're kind of crazy. I mean, they're just radical. And there's a Jewish joke. How do you distinguish between Orthodox, conservative, and reform? You know this joke? The Orthodox are crazy, the conservative are hazy, the reform are lazy. So if you don't get the joke, maybe another show I can explain more. Or ask a Jewish friend, all right? So I was not raised in a religious Jewish home. I knew as a Jew, you know, we don't believe in Jesus, just like Christians didn't believe in Muhammad. But when God started working in my life and changed me, the big obstacles were, number one, pride. Number two, drugs and the sinful lifestyle I was living. Now, as a new believer, my dad wants me to meet the rabbis. My dad wants me to talk to the local rabbis and to, you know, the rabbi from my synagogue who then introduces me to other rabbis. And he says, it's great that your life has changed, but you need to talk to the rabbi and come back to Judaism. And I remember my dad was concerned when he heard I was going to get baptized. You know, February 4th of 72, shortly before my 17th birthday, I'm going to get baptized. My dad talked to the local rabbi, and rabbi said, if he gets baptized, he's a baptized Jew. Don't worry about it. In other words, he's still Jewish. We can still keep working on him. Well, I now began to interact with these gentlemen, and they knew a whole lot I didn't know. I mean, those days I was memorizing a lot of scriptures now, starting to learn the word more and more and get with God more and more. And as the months go on and the Lord, man, Jehovah's Witness comes to my house. Woo! Let me tell you what happened. Jewish Jehovah's Witness comes to my house, knocks on the door. My mother answers the door, my dear, sweet Jewish mother. And she tells this Jehovah's Witness, oh, I'm not interested in religion. But wait for my son to come home. When he comes home, he'll convert you. He converts everybody. As a proud Jewish mother who's not a believer in Yeshua but loved her son. So as I'm driving up from school, so now I've been saved for probably, you know, a year and a half, and I'm in the Word day and night, memorized all these verses, and, you know, this lady's leaving the house. I pull up. We begin to talk. This woman ended up leaving Kingdom Hall. She ended up renouncing her Jehovah's Witness faith because we presented it with the truth of the word, truth of the word, truth of the word, truth of the word. And her eyes were so open that she turned away. I mean, I'd bowl you over. You come up with your argument, and I hit you with 90 scriptures. They didn't always have the wisdom, the compassion. There's lacking in that just a little bit as an 18-year-old. But, man, I had answers. Whoa, I bowl you over with scriptures. Now I start talking to these rabbis. Now I'm introduced to ultra-Orthodox rabbis in Brooklyn, New York. Maybe some of you are listening to my voice right now with Lubavitch, ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Jews in Brooklyn. Wow, what nice guys. How sincere. Very friendly towards me. Very embracing of me. Not nasty at all. Not mean-spirited. Nice gentleman. Sat me down. Now I'm 18 years old, memorized 4,000 verses in the Bible. Come on, bring it on, man. I got my knowledge. I got my information. And we sit down to talk, and they just very gently begin to explain, oh, no, the English translations, those are so bad. No, that's not what it's, oh, can you read the Hebrew? I didn't even remember Hebrew at that point, the little I learned from my bar mitzvah. Now I feel like a little kindergartner. Even though I knew that Jesus, Yeshua, had radically changed my life, even though I had the reality of my experience in God, and as best I could tell, I was following the scriptures, they had a strong claim for me. Number one, you have never lived in a traditional Jewish home. You've never even celebrated a traditional Jewish Sabbath. How can you tell us what to believe as Jews? And you don't even know Hebrew. We've learned this since we were children. We learned it from our fathers, learned it from their fathers, all the way back. That's what challenged me to study. In fact, I've written 5 volumes on answering Jewish objections to Jesus, over 1,500 pages. I put out a 22-hour DVD series. I've had debate after debate after debate. I am always open to debate any qualified rabbi or anti-missionary, counter-missionary, in any public setting where we can both have equal time to share our views in front of a Jewish or Christian audience, always with joy. Why? Because we are on the side of the truth. Because Jesus said, you'll know the truth will set you free. So I want to continue to explain to you on the show today how I came to faith and why I, as a Jew, am 100% sure Jesus, Yeshua, is our Messiah. If you are a Jew, Jewish believer listening, and you'd like to share why you believe Jesus is the Messiah, call in 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or if you're a Jew who does not believe, I'm open to hear from you today, 866-34-TRUTH. Stay tuned now for a special announcement about some of our important resources.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being with us on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown talking to you about why this Jew believes in Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH, if you are a Jewish person who believes in Jesus and would like to tell us why you came to faith, why you believe, not your whole testimony. Love to hear it, but don't have the time today. That would be terrific. Or if you're a Jewish person who does not believe, you are always welcome, especially on a Thursday, here in the Line of Fire, to call in and tell us why. 866-348-7884. Look, I may mention I have a certain educational background. I've been studying these issues 40 years, whatever. Don't let that intimidate you from disagreeing with me. I welcome disagreement, and I'll treat it respectfully, even if I'll tell you why I disagree. Okay, before I go to the phones, before I share more of my own story with you, and again, AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire for some of our best resources that you can view online, that you can purchase, that will help you understand Jewish faith in Jesus. I just want to talk to you about Israel today for a moment. Oh, every time I hear someone say that what Israel is doing today is apartheid, it's akin to South Africa. They've got the wall keeping out the Palestinians. In fact, Joey, do we have that clip ready from Reverend Jeremiah Wright? If you've got that, just let me know. You know, Israel is an apartheid state. Former President Jimmy Carter talked about that. Yeah. Oh, okay. We'll have to play that later. I get so grieved, as if the Israelis are these mean, monstrous people who are out to oppress the Palestinians. Can I tell you something I've never heard refuted? If the Palestinians would put down their weapons, there would be no more war. If the Israelis would put down their weapons, there would be no more Israel. So check this out, Jerusalem Post story. 47% of Germans think Israel is exterminating Palestinians. There's a really bad DVD, very misleading and theologically very, very slanted, called With God on Our Side, that's playing on college campuses and in front of Christian audiences. Porter Speakman Jr. and Reverend Stephen Sizer, they may be very sincere men who are seeking to honor the Lord. We've invited them to come on the Line of Fire. At this point, the invitation has been declined. Hopefully, they'll come on and share their views with us. But that actually talks about ethnic cleansing going on in Israel. Friends, no, the Israelis are far from perfect people. But the reason that there is a wall is to keep murderers out. That's why. If you had the opportunity, let me ask you a question. If there were murderers in your town that their plan was to come into your home and murder your family and rape your kids, would you lock the door at night? You brutal, terrible person. They might be out in the cold at night. How absurd. Of course you'd lock the door. And you better believe you have a guard dog. And you better believe you do your best to have police protection, wouldn't you? Israel has a wall up to keep murderers out. That's all. That's all. And the reason that there are checkpoints and things like that, the reason that those are there, checkpoints, is because people come in to kill Israelis. And a horrific terrorist attack just a few days ago, Orthodox Jewish family sleeping Sabbath evening, Friday night, terrorist comes into their home, and you've read the accounts. I mean, stabs in the heart, three-year-old in the heart, several-month-old baby, slices the neck, kills mother and father, three kids, cold blood, other kids, you know, one sleeping under the covers, not found, another was staying at a neighbor's house, another gets away. Five people killed in cold blood, and the Israelis, you know, they're searching for the murderers, And their response is, okay, we're gonna just keep building. We're gonna keep building more settlements. A lot of the media reports, Israel's gonna build more settlements. How terrible! Whoa, no. There are some Palestinians, according to reports, dancing in the streets, celebrating over the slaughter of these Israeli children. Please show me when Israel's done that. Please, will you do that? Please show me where Israel has done that. Go into a house in cold blood, slaughter little children, sleeping with mother and father, and then Israelis dancing in the streets to celebrate. Please tell me when that has happened, all right? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go to the phones. Houston, Texas boy, please tell me how to pronounce your name.
Hello?
Yes, is this Bina?
No, it's Benna.
Benna, okay.
Benna,
sure.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I called because I wanted to say how much I respect and admire your work, and I give you props and salute you. I am Jewish. I was raised Jewish. I am also a follower of Yeshua, Jesus, and that was something I wasn't speaking. And I told the man who answered the phone, I said, oh, I wasn't prepared to give a testimony that if it has anything to do with my brothers and sisters and for the Lord, I guess I must. But what if you want to know what happened?
Yeah, if you could just give us the short version of why it is that you are sure that Jesus Yeshua is our Messiah, that would be great.
Well, I didn't study. I mean, because one day out of the middle of nothing, I was looking at someone's Bible, which I had never seen before, and I was looking, and it was the Tanakh plus the New Testament, and I was flipping through pages, and I was immediately brought to my knees.
Mm.
It was not me. I was not looking for Jesus. I wasn't looking for anything. I was just looking what was on the coffee table.
So you had an encounter with God.
Absolutely.
Hang on. I want to come right back to you, okay? But we've got a station break coming up, and you've got more to say. I want to hear this. Friends, I am sure that Jesus Yeshua is our Messiah. He, a Jew, is one of us. He's not the son of Mr. and Mrs. Christ. He's the best-known, most influential Jew in history. More human beings worldwide, literally hundreds of millions, have become worshipers of the God of Israel through him than through any other person, Jew or Gentile. More than 100,000 Jews around the world, probably 200,000 or more, follow him as Messiah today. Although Jews are often repulsed at what Christians call the incarnation, God's word becoming flesh dwelling among us, it's actually a key to many mysteries in the Hebrew scriptures. God reaching out, pitching his tent among us, nothing idolatrous about it. He is the greatest prophet in our history. He came when the prophet said he had to come. No other messianic candidate can ever fulfill those credentials. His first coming serves as the deposit and guarantee that he'll come again and fulfill the rest of the prophecies, whereas traditional Judaism has no guarantee that Messiah will ever come. He fulfilled key prophetic scriptures, dying, rising from the dead, as the prophets foretold. He's the one to whom the sacrificial system and priesthood pointed. On and on, friends, we have ample reason to be absolutely sure that Jesus Yeshua is our Messiah. To take advantage of some special resources we have on reaching Jewish people with the good news, give us a call at 800-278-9978. That's 800-278-9978. Or go to askdrbrown.org and click on the line of fire. We will get back to our friend in Houston and share more the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, friends, some years ago, I found out that I had been given the name by a counter-missionary, Public Enemy Number One, because of our ministry in reaching Jewish people with the good news of Jesus the Messiah. And you know the greatest weapon that we have? Truth, truth, truth. Just looking at comments I asked on Facebook, if you were a Jewish believer in Jesus Yeshua, what was the number one thing that brought you to faith in him? And the first comment I saw, it said, truth. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on the Line of Fire as we talk today on why this Jew believes in Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. If you are a Jewish believer in Jesus, I'd love to hear why you believe, what it was that brought you to faith, or the key reason you'd say you believe today. Or if you are a Jewish person that does not believe in Jesus, whether you're non-religious or ultra-religious, whether you're a rabbi, counter-missionary, or just someone that doesn't believe, the phones are open to you as well, 866-34-TRUTH. Or you can always contact us through our website, AskDrBrown.org. I'm just making a note to remind myself to let you know about the free resources we have online. All right, we'll do it before the show is out. Okay, back to our friend in Houston. Thanks for holding through the break. So you were saying that you had an encounter with God through his word, through the Hebrew scriptures, that you were not expecting to have. So just tell us more of what happened.
Well, I was thumbing through the Bible completely, and promises to Abraham popped out at me like a billboard. And then when I got to the New Testament, whatever popped out at me brought me to my knees, because at that very moment I felt and I knew that the whole thing is the truth. And this was all processed in the blink of an eye. And I fell on my knees, which I never get on my, I never gotten on my knees. And I started saying Jesus' name and crying his name and saying, I am so sorry. Jesus, will you forgive me? I've missed you my whole life.
Oh, my.
And so now that I've had a few years to learn a bit more, Jesus is God, and God can't lie. So the whole thing was the truth that day. But I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what was happening, but someone had to help me realize what was happening. But I cried for half a day, and it was the best day besides the best day of my life. I am a mom. That was great, too. But it was just the most magnificent day of my life. And also, I was afraid because I'm the first Jew in my family that spoken those words.
And how did your family respond when you, how old were you at this point?
50.
Wow.
50.
And how did your family respond as you started to share with them about Jesus being our Messiah?
Differently. Everyone was different, but no one did, I think, what your dad. Nobody in my family got like a counter missionary or anything. They just listened and thought, oh, she must be going to a faith.
Yeah, well, you know, my family, though, was embracing of me as a son even more. So thank God. And then, you know, all of the folks, the rabbis I talked to, it was not hostile, heavy pressure, but it ended up being a great path for me to get involved in Jewish apologetics. Hey, got to run, but thank you for sharing that. Thank God for his mercy. I rejoice with you. Another sister, Jewish sister in Yeshua, boy. Isn't it great to hear what happens when your sins are forgiven, when you recognize that there's a better way, when you recognize that God Almighty has reached out to us? I love to quote Isaiah 53:6 in Hebrew, Kulanu katzon ta'inu, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Ish ledarko paninu, each one turned to his own way. Adonai hifgia bo et avon kulanu, the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of all of us. Back with a whole lot more right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Hey, if you just tuned in, some really neat news. Many of you know that for years I've been working on a major book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and what a long, strange trip it's been. Which I can guarantee you, almost any page you read will be about the most eye-opening stuff you have ever read. I poured a lot of effort, tears, prayer into this, interacted as much as I could with gay and lesbian community, I've got a mountain of books, queer Bible commentary and personal stories and you name it, to do my best to get in the shoes of those with whom I differ, which I try to do on every count, whoever I'm in dialogue with. And this book, I believe, God will use to awaken the conscience of the nation. We encouraged folks yesterday, go to Amazon.com and order your books there. This way it will get more secular readers, more non-believing readers, more readers who differ with our perspective to read it, which is the goal. Let's talk. Let's put the issues on the table and talk. Can we do that? Is that okay? So folks have begun to do that. We sent out an e-blast reminding folks to do that. If you'd like to get our emails, askdrbrown.org, just sign up there. We send out a lot of edifying, wonderful stuff on a weekly basis that will bless you, encourage you, strengthen you, equip you, which is why we're here. Well, it's listed under gay and lesbian nonfiction. That's a category. It's in right now on Amazon. It is number one on gay and lesbian nonfiction. Can you believe that? Hang on. Before I get back to my subject of why this Jew believes in Jesus, hang on here. Okay, let me just go to this page on Amazon, Amazon.com, if you haven't ordered from there before, and let's just see. Number one in books on gay and lesbian nonfiction, A Queer Thing Happened to America. What a long, strange trip it's been. Number two, It Gets Better, Coming Out, Overcoming Bullying, and Creating a Life Worth Living by gay columnist Dan Savage and Terry Miller. Number three, Kama Sutra Illustrated Sex. Uh-huh. Number four, History of Sexuality, Volume 1, An Introduction. That's where we are. So if you haven't ordered the book, go to Amazon.com. This is not about book sales to me. This is about making an impact. Order A Queer Thing Happened to America. As I talk to you as a Jew who believes in Jesus, I said that when I came to faith, it was not because of messianic prophecy. It was not because of Jewish arguments. It was because of an encounter with God that changed my life, because of being convicted of sin, because of his love being revealed to me. But now you go on, you're a believer, you talk to rabbis, you talk to counter-missionaries, you talk to learned people, sincere people, nice Jewish people who are devoted to God. I mean, the first ultra-Orthodox rabbi I met, I was with a conservative rabbi. We went into Brooklyn and 770 Eastern Parkway, that the Lubavitch headquarters, Hasidic Jews there. We go in there, and my rabbi friend, very gracious man, still working as a rabbi in Long Island, scholarly man. He was a young man then. I was 18. He was about 28, 29. He goes and says hello to this ultra-Orthodox rabbi. And how are you doing? And the rabbi says, thank God. And I remember being surprised. Thank God. That's a spiritual kind of comment. That's the way we talk in our church. We used to shake hands. We'd see each other. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, that's how we address each other. Praise the Lord. Hi. He said, thank God. How are you? Thank God. He didn't say, well, for a pharisaical hypocrite, part of a dead religion, as a superficial practitioner of a dead religion, I'm not doing badly. No, he's a religious Jew. He said, thank God. He was very zealous for God. Studied day and night, prayed day and night, seek to live a godly, clean life. That's different than the Judaism I grew up with. It was kind of wishy-washy. Didn't really influence the whole life. Now I start talking to these guys. I'm challenged to study. In fact, when people say, how did you get into Jewish apologetics? Well, I owe it to the Lubavitcher rabbis. I owe it to the ultra-Orthodox rabbis who spoke with me in my early days and really challenged me to learn Hebrew. The thing that's wonderful, though, is as I dug into the scriptures, not in some cheap, superficial way, but as I dug into the scriptures, the more I dug into the scriptures, the more clear it was on the truth side, not just on the experiential side, that Jesus had to be our Messiah. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. If you are a Jewish believer in Jesus and want to tell us why you as a Jew believe in Jesus, Yeshua's Messiah, the phone lines are open. Or if you as a Jew want to tell us why you do not believe, we'll always do our best to have the phone lines open for you. Fair enough? All right. Can't be any more fair than that. We'll talk it through, put the issues on the table. One of the great truths that I discovered in my study of the scriptures was that the Messiah had to come before the second temple was destroyed. Why do I say that? Well, Haggai, the second chapter, prophesied that the glory of the second temple would be greater than the glory of the first temple. And yet, as we lay out in my book, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, Volume 1, as we lay out there, there were numerous things that were not there in the second temple that were there in the first, as the rabbis acknowledge. You know, the divine fire, the Shekhinah, the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant with the tablets of the law, they weren't there for the second temple. The rabbis asked, well, how was it that the second temple was greater than the first in terms of glory in this? Well, you know, the splendor of the temple, or it lasted longer, you know, the physical splendor, it lasted longer. No, this is a divine glory. Where was the divine glory? That's one thing. Malachi 3 says that the Lord himself will visit that temple and bring cleansing and purifying. When did that happen? And then Daniel 9 makes clear that before the destruction of the temple, that atonement for iniquity has to come. When, pray tell, did that happen? If the Messiah did not come and bring a greater glory to that temple and then pour out his spirit there after his resurrection, if he did not visit that temple, a divine visitation, if he did not bring everlasting atonement for sin before the second temple was destroyed, then those things didn't happen and there is no Messiah. So there's only one candidate. Who is the Jew who came before the second temple was destroyed and fulfilled those prophecies? Only one possibility. Either Jesus is our Messiah. We have none. Something to think about. Now, I expand these at great length and DVD series and book forum and free resources as well. If you go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, you'll find some of our key Jewish-related resources that will help you, that you can refer your other Jewish friends to as well. But I give you a wonderful threefold messianic prophecy that indicates Messiah had to come before the second temple was destroyed. Either it's Jesus or we have no Messiah. Saul in Kendall, Florida, listening on WTBN. Yes, sir, what's your story?
Well, how are you? First of all, my name is Saul Rosenberg, and I grew up in New York City. And when I was younger, before I moved to Florida, you know, I went through a lot, and, you know, I had a good family, my parents had a lot of money, and I never had financial problems, but there came a time when I was getting a little bit older, I was in my 40s, and, you know, I was having a hard time, and, you know, I actually got mugged in front of a church in New York City, and I got beat down so hard by some stranger. They took everything, and I was supposed to die that day because I was beat to a pulp, and I was in the hospital. But then I remember seeing the church, and, you know, right before I got knocked unconscious, because I do remember, very rare, I said, if you do exist, Jesus, you know, help me get through this, because I don't want to die. I have a lot to live for. And ever since then, the biggest issue that I've been having is that I go to temple, and I still have it now. And it's because of the, you know, the family that I have here, but I go to church on Sundays, and I go to temple as well. And I'm having a problem because I'm basically in the closet. I don't want anybody in my family to know that I'm going to a Catholic church. I'm a Jewish person in the closet, and I am, and this is not the first time that this has happened.
Saul, you have, it's interesting that you're free to share all this, give your name on national radio, and yet be on the closet the other way. Tell you what, I'm looking at the clock. We've got a break coming up. I would love to have one of my colleagues give you a call and chat with you directly about your own faith, your own life. God spared you for a purpose and has given you some understanding about Jesus. But there's more for you. So tell you what, we're going to put you on hold. All right, we're going to put you on hold, Saul. And we're going to have one of my colleagues named Ryan is going to give you a call. All right? So, Joey, get his contact info for us. We'll give you a call, and we'll explain more about Jesus, Yeshua, and help you take some good steps so that you can get strengthened in your faith in Jesus, Yeshua. Really come to know him. And, hey, your family needs to know as well. Friends, Jesus said to all of us, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my follower, here's what you have to do. You have to deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. There will be opposition. There will be misunderstanding. Our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world are being killed for the gospel. Let's get strong in him and share our faith boldly. Hey, take advantage of our special Jewish resource offer. Call 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, folks, for being with us, Michael Brown, as I share why this Jew believes in Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me remind you, if you missed the beginning of the program, Mondays on The Line of Fire, wide open. Don't know which direction we'll go. Depends on what happens over the weekend. I'm hoping this coming Monday to address the new Rob Bell book and the question of universalism and heaven and hell. But Mondays we leave wide open. Tuesdays we try to focus on something related to Bible, theology, apologetics. Wednesday, focus on moral, cultural, social issues, all from a gospel perspective. Thursday, focus on issues relating to Israel, the Jewish people, whether it's what's happening in Israel today. We'll be having special guest commentators joining us on a regular basis from Israel, giving perspective, whether it's messianic prophecy, whether it's Jewish apologetics, whether it's biblical prophecy. We look at those things on Thursdays. And then Fridays, you've got questions, we've got answers, so you can be prepared for tomorrow. If you want to call in on anything that relates to our areas of expertise here on The Line of Fire, Fridays are the days when we take calls on a wide range of subjects. But if you are a Jewish person listening to the broadcast and you do not believe in Jesus, you are not a follower of Jesus Yeshua, and you want to tell me why, Thursdays are a great day to call in. We will always do our best. I can't guarantee it, but we'll do our best to make time for you in the program so that you can share why you do not believe. So get word out to rabbis, counter missionaries, get word out to folks who are maybe in a community where you got to do things in secret. And here we don't have a tracking system. We don't have a special tracking system. So if you call in, we won't be able to trace where you are and send a missionary to your doorstep. So don't worry about that, okay? You don't have to worry about that. You can call in and use a false name if you need to, all right? You can try to disguise your voice if you're afraid someone's going to recognize you and you get kicked out of your house or your job, okay? I'm dead serious. Listen, we've had to have meetings with folks, secret Jewish believers in different communities where, you know, in days past when there were cassette tapes, I had a whole series and they had to get them one tape at a time to the guy because it's the only thing he could carry without drawing attention to it and listen to it secretly and meet us at this corner, then go here, go there, and so on, because there's just a lot of pressure. So the phone lines, 866-34-TRUTH, jot the number down, all right? And I will do my best on Thursdays to take calls from folks who don't agree. And if you don't agree with my stance on modern Israel, if you think Israel is in a modern apartheid state, or that the church has replaced Israel, or that there's no special purpose for the people of Israel, I'll do my best to take your calls on Thursdays as well. All right, let me try to get to one more call here and then give you a few more thoughts on why I, as a Jew, believe in Jesus. Deborah in Houston, also on KKHT, thank you for calling The Line of Fire.
Awesome. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Well, I was brought to a Baptist church kind of on a dare by a friend of mine. We actually went to a synagogue, brought him to my synagogue, and then he brought me to his Baptist church. And I think I started reading the scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And, you know, I guess as a Jewish person, I knew that Jesus was Jewish, but I really didn't know that so were his disciples. And so when I really started to see what their lives were before and after, and, you know, just the impact that Jesus Christ made on their life, I really had to take a strong look at that, because these were people that lived with him, that walked with him, that were witness to everything that he had done. And so that made a huge impact on me, because I remember having Christianity really hidden from me as a child. There were a lot of things on television and just out in the world that my parents wanted to shield me from so that I wouldn't have any knowledge of it. And I remember, you know, my mom would say things, you know, like they're trying to wipe Judaism away and take it off the map. And, you know, I'm also from New York State. When I moved down to Houston, Texas, she said, you know, those Christians are going to get you. And she was right. But the reason was because I had to take a heartfelt look and not afraid to open up the New Testament and to read actually what it said. And I think that, you know, the evidence is overwhelming. And just if you have an open heart to God, and I have religious school training and a Jewish background, and I'm very grateful for that because I think it gave me a lot more insight into prophecy and revelation and what being Jewish means and Judaism and the relationship with God and just all the symbolism in the Old Testament. It was overwhelming, and nobody ever told me that.
Praise God. Hey, Deborah, you know, I've just got to jump in. We're out of time, but you've said a lot, and you've said it very well. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Here's a woman saying, because she was a Jew and because she is a Jew, reading the New Testament gave her a greater appreciation for the Jewishness of Jesus, gave her a greater realization that, yes, indeed, he is our Messiah. Thank you, Deborah, for the call. Friends, if you're listening, you have a Jewish friend that doesn't know Jesus, can I encourage you as a Gentile to share the good news, share your testimony, get involved with their lives in a genuine, loving way, and show them the reality of a changed life? Can I encourage you as a Jewish person who follows Jesus, Yeshua, you have nothing to be afraid of. The questions have been answered again. If you need resources, 5 volumes, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. We've got them specially discounted to tie in with the program today. So call us at 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of that. That's 1-800-278-9978 for our specially discounted Jewish resources for you today. We're doing our best to get them into your hands however we can. And many more resources at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. If you're a Jewish person listening and you don't know Jesus, here's my bottom line, friend. I remind you that his name is Yeshua, that his mother's name is Miriam, that he's not the son of Mr. and Mrs. Christ. He was called Christ because Christ is the Greek way of saying Messiah, that he didn't come to establish a lovely new home and garden religion called Christianity. He came to fulfill what was written in Moses and the prophets. And he fulfilled the prophecies that had to be fulfilled before the destruction of the second temple. In fact, he prophesied it would be destroyed and that our people would be scattered for many, many long years before being regathered. And he died because we all fall short. He died the righteous for the unrighteous, the innocent for the guilty. He died in fulfillment of what the sacrificial system was pointing towards, life for life, so that as we turn to him in tshuva, in repentance and faith, and ask him to forgive us and to wash us clean, he will give us a brand new life. I quote to you from Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, truly happy is the man, the woman, who puts his or her trust in him. If we can help you find Jesus Yeshua, contact us at AskDrBrown.org. We would love to strengthen you in your faith. For almost 40 years now, as I've shared my faith, I've heard it said to me, but Jews don't believe in Jesus. Today, you'll hear why this Jew does believe in Jesus.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is our day to focus on Jewish and Israel-related issues. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on The Line of Fire. I will be speaking to you as a Jew today. You say, well, whether you speak to us as yesterday or tomorrow. No, no, I'm a Jew. I am Jewish. People say to me, no, no, you were Jewish. Now you believe in Jesus. Oh, so as a Jew, believing in the Jewish Messiah, as a Jew, believing in the one who came and gave his life for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as well as for the entire world, as a Jew, believing in the one who fulfills what's written in Moses and the prophets, as a Jew, believing in the one who established a new covenant with Israel and Judah, I'm no longer a Jew by believing in the Jewish Messiah? Sounds strange, doesn't it? Today I'm going to tell you why this Jew believes in Jesus, believes in Yeshua. If you are a Jewish person and you are a follower of Jesus, Yeshua, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Give us a call and tell us why you, as a Jew, believe in Jesus the Messiah. All right? If you are a Jew and you do not believe in Jesus the Messiah, if, as a Jewish person, rabbi, counter missionary, educated Jew, uneducated Jew, secular, Buddhist Jew, who, for whatever reason, you don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, I'll do my best on Thursdays to keep a line open for you to call in and tell us why you, as a Jew, don't believe. 866-34-TRUTH. I'd love to hear from you on either side today. Or you can join us on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, and you can answer the question, why do you, as a Jewish person, believe in Jesus as Messiah? Now, I'm going to get into that more with you today. I've got quite an audio clip to play for you from Reverend Jeremiah Wright about Israel. We're going to give you some updates on Israel today, talk about some relevant issues. If you go to our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, you'll see a really neat picture. Before I get into Jewish-related issues, yesterday we talked about our burden to reach out to the homosexual community with the message of the good news of Jesus. Reach out while resisting. Reach out and resist, right? Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist gay activism with courage. So for 6 years plus, I worked very intensely on a book called A Queer Thing Happened to America. We told you about it yesterday. 700-page book, over 1,500 endnotes, beautiful hardcover edition. You say, I'm not much of a reader. Hey, it doesn't matter. You pull out any one chapter you like and read it. It's like, it'll open your eyes. It will shock you. It will awaken you, and you'll think, okay, we're going in the wrong direction, dangerously wrong direction. And we've got practical steps that'll help get us on a right direction, on a right path. But we encourage you to go to Amazon.com and order that. Now, to be perfectly frank with you, our ministry would receive more funds from folks ordering directly from our ministry. But our goal with this book is to get it into the hands of secular readers, to get it into the hands of the general reader that's not a believer, that doesn't agree with us. And as the sales go up on Amazon, more and more people read it there, find out about the book because it becomes a bestseller there, and they want to read it. So that's what it's about. It's about impacting people, reaching people, and it's just a good tool on the internet to do that. Amazon.com. If you haven't ordered, please do so today. A Queer Thing Happened to America. Trust me, it will be worth your while. Get a few books for yourself, for friends. It'll be life-transforming reading. I can guarantee you that with the effort we've put into it and with the response from readers we've had. Well, here's the cool thing, and if you go to Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, you'll see this for yourself. Here's the cool thing. It is now number one on gay and lesbian nonfiction on Amazon.com. Number one, gay, lesbian, nonfiction book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Thanks to you. Together, we will make a difference. Change the world. Fire we want, for fire we
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, folks, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, blessed to be with you. You know, when I meet folks that have been listening to the show, they tell me they always hear the smile in my voice. My wife of 35 years, my bride, Nancy, will tell you that over the weekend, as much as I enjoy getting a little rest over the weekend or family time or time to catch up on projects or extra ministry time, whatever it is, I'm always chafing because I can't do radio over the weekend and looking forward to doing a fresh show on Monday. So it's a delight to be with you. If you hear a smile in my voice, it's because it is my joy to be with you on the airways every day. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Why this Jew believes in Jesus. That's what I'm talking to you about today. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. And by the way, when you go there, explore the past programs. We've got hundreds of shows archived with amazing subjects and great guests and debates and everything. So explore the resources there, the links, askdrbrown.org, and then click on the Line of Fire. And if you're a Jewish person listening and you believe in Jesus, tell me the number one reason why. Why is it that you came to faith? If you're a Jewish person that does not believe in Jesus, tell me why you don't. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before I get into the heart of this, my reasons as a Jew for believing in Jesus, I want you to hear this this clip from Reverend Jeremiah Wright, where he refers to Israel as an apartheid nation. Go ahead.
With black and white Christian preachers mistaking Zionism for Judaism, yes, and honestly believing and teaching on television that the apartheid in the state of Israel is consistent with the perfect will of God, I'm talking about Christian ministers who support the construction of a wall to keep Palestinians out, keep Palestinians hemmed in, keep Palestinians cut off from their families, their olive gardens, and their only means of making a living. These Christian ministers, while sick Palestinians are dying at checkpoints and ambulances, that Israeli soldiers will not let them through so they can get their medication. Churchgoers who get their praise on in GA. Yeah, I'm gonna get my praise on there. Completely ignoring the ethnic cleansing going on in GA in Gaza and praying for the destruction of the mosque. No, baby, we are not there yet. We slowed down.
Oh boy. Talk about error. Talk about angry falsehoods. Talk about destructive rhetoric not based on truth. Look, you're not going to find a more self-critical nation than Israel. You're not going to find a democracy where the leadership is more criticized. You have anti-Zionist Israelis, okay? The Arab population living in Israel has more freedoms and liberties than in any other country in the Middle East. Do you know why Palestinians are dying that are not getting medical treatment? It's not because Israelis are killing them at checkpoints or stopping them so that they can't get their treatment. First, the reason there's a checkpoint is to keep murderers out. If Palestinians said, we're not out to destroy Israel anymore, if the Palestinians put down their weapons, there'd be no more war. If the Israelis put down their weapons, there'd be no more Israel. That's a fact. Sure, there are imperfect Israelis. They're imperfect everybody's. That's not the issue. The issue is this idea that it's apartheid. Come on, there's a wall up to keep terrorists out, like the terrorists that broke into a home in a Jewish settlement in historic Judea, Samaria, I mean, part of our land, Jerusalem-related settlements. Terrorists able to get in, one or more, murder a sleeping Jewish family last Sabbath, Friday night, killing mother, father, little children. I mean, what kind of human being stabs a three-year-old to death in the heart? What kind of human being slices the throat of a three-month-old? What kind of human being then dances in the street to celebrate the destruction of that? Those are the people that Israel's trying to keep out, the murderers, the ones that want to butcher their children and then dance in the streets to celebrate it. That's apartheid? And you know what the unemployment rate is in Gaza? Do you know about the factionalism and the fighting between Palestinian Authority and Hamas in Gaza? Do you see all the turmoil in the Middle East in all these different nations? It's not because of the Jews. Do you know why there's not better medical treatment with all the money that pours in to Gaza and pours into the hands of Hamas and Hezbollah and Palestinian Authority, these other groups involved in different parts of the Middle East? It's because so much goes for weaponry and propaganda. The truth be told. If you differ with me, if you think I'm wrong on this, if you are one that would like to bash any form of Christian Zionism or just take respectful difference, even though it's not my main subject today, I'll do my best to take calls from those who differ. 866-34-TRUTH. We always want to be fair. We always want to be open. We always want to be respectful. I may be passionate. I have deep reasons for what I believe, but I love dialogue and discussion. In fact, my favorite setting is getting questions from people who disagree with me, questions from people who are hostile to my views. When I set up, public debates, I do my best to do it in a setting where we can have lots and lots of people there who do not believe, who do not agree. All right. Some questions for you. 866-34-TRUTH, if you'd like to weigh in, or even if, I want to open this too wide, but yeah, even if you have a messianic prophecy related question, maybe I can get to some of those today. Normally Fridays would be the day for our wide open biblically related questions. But if you've got a question about, you heard this messianic prophecy, it's not really a prophecy, or you heard a rabbi or a counter missionary say why this can't apply to Jesus, maybe we can take some calls along those lines as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Who is the most influential Jew who ever lived? Moses. You make case for Moses because the influence of the law, and then the law goes into Islam and a different form of Christianity and Judaism. Yeah, but of course, Moses was an Israelite before there was such a thing as a Jew. But let's say we include Moses as a Jew, all right? Israelite Jew. Absolutely worldwide influential, but the name of Moses pales in terms of influence compared to the name of Jesus, Yeshua. I mean, much of the world dates the years, the calendar, based on when he came into the world. So let's fine-tune this. Who is the most influential rabbi who ever lived? Who's the most influential rabbi who ever lived? It's only one choice, one possible choice. You say, but no, Jesus, he was a Christian minister. He was reverend. He was Reverend Christ. No. He was Rabbi Yeshua. He was not Reverend Christ. He was not the son of Mr. and Mrs. Christ. And he wasn't a reverend. He was a rabbi. He's the first person in recorded history to be called rabbi, which is an honorific title for a Jewish teacher. Rabbi is how you refer to a Jewish teacher before it was a formally ordained title, and he is the most influential rabbi who ever lived. Let's take this a little further. Which Jew has brought the knowledge of the God of Israel to more human beings around the world? Which Jew has brought the knowledge of the God of Israel to more human beings around the world? Oh, simple again. Rabbi Jesus, Rabbi Yeshua. Through him, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of Gentiles have come to believe that the God of Israel is the one true God. Through Jesus Yeshua, they have turned from idols, they have turned from spirit worship, ancestor worship, animism, they have turned from Islam, they have turned from Buddhism, they have turned from Hinduism, they have turned from atheism, they have turned from every walk of life, and they have turned to the one true God, the God of Israel, through whom? Jesus the Jew. And there are prophetic scriptures that indicate that the Messiah had to come and deal with sin in a priestly way, deal with sin, visit the temple, and bring the glory of God to the temple in Jerusalem before the second temple was destroyed. And when was that, pray tell? That was in the year 70. That was well over 1,900 years ago. So, any candidates come to mind? There are many strong reasons why I, as a Jew, believe in Jesus as our Messiah. Ultimately, my life has been radically changed by him. Ultimately, I have a daily walk with him and through him with our Father, the God of Israel. And ultimately, he is the one to whom the scriptures point. We have, let me get my throat clear here. We have some resources. I've written 5 volumes on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. By God's grace, they have filled a void that was greatly needed in Jewish apologetics for Jewish believers, for Gentile believers, for seeking Jews. 5 volumes on answering Jewish objections to Jesus, other resources, debates, materials. We have them available at a special discount today. Every day I sit and I think, okay, how can we get more of these resources into more people's hands? What can we do to get them into your hands? Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Call that number right now. Someone's waiting to take your call. 1-800-278-9978. Ask about our special discount on Jewish resources today. That's 800-278-9978. We come back. Why this Jew believes in Jesus.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I want to come back to something before I continue talking to you about why this Jew, Michael Brown, why I believe in Jesus, Yeshua, as our Messiah. 866-34-TRUTH if you'd like to weigh in. It's 866-348-7884. I've got a bunch of comments I'm going to read in a moment. Our website, askdrbrown.org. If you click on the Line of Fire, you'll get linked to a lot of other Jewish-related resources there as well. I talked about the massacre of this Jewish family sleeping in their bed. I mean, it's just rough to think of a more horrific act in terms of the nature of it, whether it's a Jewish life or a Muslim life or it doesn't matter whose life it was, an atheist life or a Christian life. You just think of a family sleeping in bed at night, Sabbath evening for a religious Jewish family in this case. Someone breaks into the house and begins to slaughter the family one at a time, knifing them to death. Three-year-old knifed in the heart, two, three-month-old, neck slit, husband, wife, neck slit, killed. Another child killed, five in all killed. What's shocking is that there has not been more news talk of this. You say, well, what's been happening in Japan has our attention. Of course, for many obvious reasons. But a lot of other things have our attention. And some of the big reporting has been, Israel says they're going to build more. Israel says they're going to build more settlements. How can they build more settlements? It's wild. So Jewish blood, the slaughter of these little children, that's not the big story, the atrocity of it. The fact that, according to some reports, there were Palestinians dancing in the streets celebrating the slaughter as a good thing. And when Prime Minister Netanyahu says that there is incitement, or other Jewish leaders say that there is incitement in the educational system, in the Palestinian Authority, and so on, and Hamas, and no, there's no such incitement. Come on, anybody can get online. And you go to a source like Memory TV, M-E-M-R-I TV, and just watch the Palestinian educational, the stuff that's taught in the schools, and the readers that the kids have, and little children singing how they want to be martyrs and kill the Jews, and the Jews are the sons of apes and pigs, and so on. And you get textbooks, Palestinian textbooks. Israel doesn't even exist. Doesn't have a right to exist. Of course there's incitement. But you wonder, where's the news reporting on this? Where's the news reporting setting the record straight on this? Where's the news reporting telling the truth? Just tell the truth and get it out. And something really shocking, but I think it was right. I think it was right. The family, the relatives that of the family that was slaughtered, they said, we want the world to see what this looked like. And you can actually see what the soldiers, the paramedics saw when they arrived on the scene. You actually see pictures of the bloodied bodies. Yeah, those are available online. Take a look at this and see what's being done. And you're gonna blame these monstrous Jews for all the evil in the Middle East. Think again, friend, because that just is not true. All right, my question I put on Facebook, if you were a Jewish believer in Jesus, Yeshua, what was the number one thing that brought you to faith in him? Just looking at some of the comments, Miriam, I believe in Holland. She said, truth, truth. Elisa said, Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Richard said, Deuteronomy 6:4. The words are plural. Oh, okay. God is one. It's not actually plural. It's just the word one, but God's unity is compound. I always like to emphasize that. Janice, studying the Old Testament scriptures and their fulfillment in the New Testament. I also read the book of John over and over again. This is big. I could not get over the claims that Yeshua made about himself. They really challenged my faith as to what I believed and brought me to a deep faith in him. You know, there is just that encounter with him. Who is this man? Who is he? Look at his authority. Look at how he healed the sick and raised the dead. Look at how he exposed the hearts of people. Look at how he revealed the character of the Father. I am not at all ashamed of the doctrine of the incarnation. I don't run from it. The idea that Almighty God came and tabernacled among us. There's nothing idolatrous about it. Deuteronomy 4 is quite explicit to our people that you saw no form when he appeared on Mount Sinai. Now, this isn't Numbers 12 that Moses saw the form of the Lord, or Psalm 15, the psalmist expected to see the form of the Lord when he died. It doesn't say God has no form, but that the Israelites saw no form there in Deuteronomy 4. In other words, God was not going to come in the form of a man, the form of an animal, so that they could make some statue, etc. And we have never seen, in that sense, the form of God. But God pitches his tent among us. God in Genesis 18 revealed himself in flesh with two angels. Best reading of that text, Genesis 18. God reveals himself along with two angels to Abraham. Genesis 18. Does that mean that they now make a statue of what that flesh and blood looked? No. They don't make a statue of what the flesh and blood looked like. That was just a tabernacle, a tent. There was a physical tent called the Mishkan, the tabernacle, in which God would manifest his presence while sitting enthroned in heaven and filling the universe by his spirit. That is our great God, complex in his unity. One God, not three, not four, not two, not 20. One God only. We live and die for one God and one God only. Anything other than that is false religion, false teaching, idolatrous, heretical, polytheistic, destructive. One God only, complex in his unity. That's the God of Scripture. He revealed himself in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, and then in the temple, but the physical temple was not the thing to be worshipped. That was not the form of the Lord. And John chapter 1, verse 14 says that the Word, this revelation of God, this aspect of God, this part of God, ultimately revealed through the Son, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What's the word there? He tabernacled among us. He pitched his tent among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only one. Some translations, the only Son of the Father. Some, the only God who's in the Father's bosom. He has made him known. He pitched his tent among us. We don't bow down and worship the tent. That's why the first believers did not have all these elaborate statues built of Jesus and pictures of him. No, it didn't dawn on them because it wasn't the physical form. That was just like the tent. He reveals the Father. If we've seen him, we've seen the Father. And Gordon says, interestingly, the thing that brought him to faith was the revelation of the Father. These are Jewish people who've weighed in our Facebook page who are explaining why, as Jews, they believe in Jesus. And Heather said this: the words in the Bible that said if I didn't believe in Jesus I'd be condemned really fueled my search and drove me bonkers. I mean, what does it say? Was it really say? I had to know if this Jesus was true or not because I knew the stakes were high. What pushed me over the edge into actual belief was reading the Gospels and finding Jesus' words of wisdom popping into advice I found myself giving to others. Then one day sensing a powerful spiritual tugging as I read about others worshiping or placing their faith in Jesus. As I resisted the tug, it went away. I felt like I had just missed some incredible opportunity and had to get back to that moment. So I relented and surrendered to him. The Holy Spirit drawing Jewish people to himself. It's glorious. We come back. We're going to lay out further reasons why this Jew believes in Jesus.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know what, when I will share my testimony with people, they'll say, oh, so you were Jewish? I say, no. I am Jewish. I am Jew. Well, but you believe in Jesus. Yeah. I'm a Jew who believes in Jesus. It's not like I was a man. I was a human. But I'm no longer a man. I'm no longer a human because I believe in Jesus. No, that would That would be a non sequitur. That would be no logical connection. I was a Jew. I am a Jew. I believe in Jesus as the Jewish Messiah. Talking about why today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. In particular today, if you are a Jewish person and you believe in Jesus, Yeshua, as Messiah, tell us the number one reason why, or what was it that turned you to him as a believer. If you're a Jew that doesn't believe in Jesus, feel free to call in and tell me why. Now, I probably heard the reason, because I've written over 1,500 pages on answering Jewish objections to Jesus that I think covers all the major questions that have been raised. We do it as comprehensively and honestly as possible. In fact, later in the show, we'll tell you how to get some of those resources at a discounted price. But the phones are always open to folks who differ with us. Tomorrow, on the Line of Fire, you've got questions, we've got answers. So anything you want to ask under the sun that relates to our expertise on the Line of Fire, we will take those questions on the air tomorrow and then answer many email questions that come in. Monday, I'm hoping to get into some theological hot issues, probably talking about the new Rob Bell book and the question of heaven and hell and universal salvation. Tuesday, planning to get into why Jesus is not coming on May 21st. But, you know, we can always go a little different directions. Depends on what's happening in the news of urgent matter. And again, tomorrow I'm going to share some reflections about the problem of suffering, believers dealing with the problem of suffering. If you would like to watch a two-hour debate with Professor Bart Ehrman, a former evangelical Christian who is now a very passionate agnostic, our debate from Ohio State University a little under a year ago on the Bible and the problem of suffering. Does the Bible provide an adequate answer to the problem of suffering? It's available for free online viewing. Go to askdrbrown.org and just look at recently added media on the home page. All right. And if you haven't heard the news, thanks to your orders and participation, A Queer Thing Happened to America, a book I've worked on for 6+ years by God's grace to help awaken the conscience of the nation to the wrong direction we are going, written with compassion, with respect, and yet written with uncompromising truth. That is now on Amazon.com, number one book in gay and lesbian nonfiction, as it climbs up the general list on Amazon. It is now number one, gay and lesbian nonfiction. I didn't place it there. I didn't give it that specific category. There are several categories it could be listed in, but it works great there. My goal is to get a lot of secular readers to read the book. My goal is to get a lot of people to read the book that wouldn't normally read it, that don't agree with us, so we can have some dialogue and discussion and interaction and see where the truth lies and see which is the best direction for our country and for our human race here on the earth. The stakes really are high. Does male, female matter? Do these things make a difference? Two dads, two moms, the same as mom and dad. Should we care? Or are we standing on the side of discrimination and bigotry, using the Bible to bash people over the head? Or does the Bible show us the way to life? If you haven't ordered the book yet, please do so. Go to Amazon.com, 700-page hardcover, beautifully produced edition, 1,500 endnotes for those that want to study and dig. And for those that aren't into that, just grab any one chapter and read it when you like. It will shake and rock your world. So go to Amazon.com, order the book, and when you do it, you not only help yourself, you will help others to read it. It'll bring the book to their attention, and people will read it that wouldn't normally read it. All right, listen to this. These are the names of the 12 emissaries. First, Shimon called Kepha, Andrew his brother, Yaakov ben Zavda, Yochanan his brother, Philip and Bartalmai, Toma Matit Yahu, Yaakov, Bar Chalfai, Tada, Shimon the Zealot, Yehuda from Creole. What's that about?
It's fire we want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for being part of this afternoon that I look forward to every single day, being with you on the air here on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, considered blessed to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Okay, Christians, don't believe in Muhammad, right? Muslims don't believe in Buddha. Jews don't believe in Jesus. Ah, no, no, no. Many Jews, most Jews, don't believe in Jesus. The question would be why? The vast majority of Jews don't believe in Jesus because it never occurred to them that they should. Or they were told not to. Or they understood we just don't. Or what they knew about him was not who he really was. People say, well, the rabbis are so learned. The rabbis study day and night. Some of them do, and many are very learned. And I know some who are very, very sincere. Some of the finest people I know, traditional Jewish rabbis. So why don't they believe? Well, the vast majority never investigated it. Here, let me give you a parallel. Let's say you're a Christian. Why don't you believe in Islam? Why are you not a Muslim? Why are you not following Muhammad? But you haven't investigated, have you? You haven't looked into it. You know Jesus. You believe in Jesus. Therefore, you don't believe in Muhammad. Well, for a Jewish person, because you're raised Jewish, you don't believe in Jesus. And then through much of church history, which has often been horrible persecution of Jews in Jesus' name, I document it in detail in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, The Tragic Story of the Church and the Jewish People, which, by the way, has been translated into more languages than any book I've written. In point of fact, Jews have been driven away from a false message about Jesus by false followers of Jesus who've misrepresented the gospel to them and have made Jesus so non-Jewish that in order to follow him, you have to renounce being Jewish. Here, I read before the break, as one of our callers correctly identified, I read before the break the names of the 12 apostles or shlichim or emissaries. First, Shimon called Kepha, and Andrew his brother, Yaakov ben Zavdai and Yochanan his brother, Philip and Bartholomai, to Oma and Matityahu the tax collector, Yaakov bar Chalfai and Tadai, Shimon the zealot and Yehuda from Kriot. You've heard of Judas Iscariot? That would be the Ish Kriot, the man from the village of Kriot. Yehuda from Kriot who betrayed him. These 12 Yeshua sent out with the following instructions. I just read that from David Stern's Jewish New Testament, also part of his complete Jewish Bible. That's how they would have been known. That's how they would have been known. Yeshua, the Messiah, known to his people as Rabbi, known to his people as Messiah, known to his people as Lord. Here, let's put this in context. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. There are Gentiles who are coming to faith in Jesus, correct? Gentiles who are coming to faith in Jesus. And what happens? There's a big dispute among the Jewish believers. Can you be a Gentile and believe in Yeshua the Messiah? Or do you first have to become Jewish? Do you have to become circumcised and take on the law? Why? Because he's for the Jews. He's for the Jews. Look, the new covenant. With whom was it given? Read it for yourself. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The new covenant, with whom was it given? It was given to the house of Israel, the house of Judah, and only by extension does it go to the Gentile world. Oh, in other words, the reason Jesus is the Savior of the world is because he's the Messiah of Israel. If he's not the Messiah of Israel, he's not the Savior of anybody. The question among the early believers was, can you follow Jesus without becoming Jewish? It's changed through the centuries to, can a Jew follow Jesus without becoming a Gentile? We've gotten the thing completely wrong. Once we start to read it in its Jewish context, it starts to make a lot more sense. Sue Ellen in Salt Lake City, what is your Jewish testimony?
Hello, Dr. Michael Brown. How are you?
I am blessed by God. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Me too. Well, the Lord spoke to me as a child in the synagogue. You know, we have the Siddur, the prayer book.
Yes.
And as I read scripture in responsive liturgy, I just sensed that it was the truth. And it just resonated in my heart as the truth. And I heard the Lord speak to me. I didn't know it was the Lord then, but he said, you don't have all of me. And then a little bit older.
Wait, hang on. This is fascinating. Let me jump in here. What kind of synagogue was this that you were in?
It was Reform.
Okay, so it's Reform synagogue. So this would be very liberal, and you're probably reading in English, not in Hebrew. Is that right?
That's right. There was some Hebrew, but most
okay.
of it was English.
All right, so you're reading responsive readings. So these would be like from the Psalms or from other
That's
Jewish
right.
liturgy about God and Israel and redemption and those kinds of things. So many wonderful truths
yeah.
in the Jewish prayer book. and you're reading this and you have a sense that this is true, and you have a voice inside of you telling you, but you don't have all of it. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, well, fast forward, a lot of us Jewish folks, we go to sit in front of the guru, so I did that too.
All right, what year was this?
What year? I guess I was in my 20s. Oh, what year? That was...
roughly.
In 70s?
Yeah, all right. So part of the whole Jewish
in New York.
Secret. Yeah, amazing. A little later in the show, I'm going to talk about this Jewish phenomenon of seeking spiritual truth outside of the God of Israel. But all right, so you go and sit with a guru. What was his name?
Oh, Swami Hariharananda.
Okay. The founder of the Hare Krishna guy?
No. He was from the Yogananda line.
Okay, so just a little different name there. Sorry, I got it confused. So you sit with the guru, and that didn't quite do it, huh?
Well, I heard a voice inside, not an audible voice, but I heard, you're the same wretch sitting in front of the guru as you are on the street. So I didn't know what a wretch was. I never heard that before.
Wow.
And then I couldn't go back. I mean, something inside me wouldn't let me. I mean, it's not like I tried to go back. I just didn't want to go back. It was like nothing.
Mm. Amazing. And so how did you then, in short, because time is short and it's a great long story, I'm sure, how did you then come to believe that Jesus, Yeshua, was our Messiah?
Well, sure. In Seattle, I was friends with part Catholic, part Jewish person. That's another explanation. And she told me why the sacrifices were no longer and why there was no temple, and that Jesus, Yeshua, was the pure and spotless Lamb of God that took the sins, sins from the world. And that was more truth. And every time we talked, she read a scripture to me, and I put them up on post-it notes all over. And I also was asked by someone else to read a book by Catherine Coleman about a gal whose dad was out to kill her, and that was similar to my story. And I became jealous. I wanted that Jesus that this woman had. And so these things just started bubbling around and more scripture. And then finally, I was riding my bicycle and I heard Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And this name that I could never say was in my body and in every fiber of my being. And I went to see my friend and I explained to her what was happening, and she had this broad smile on her face. And she led me in repentance prayers. And I started out with the Catholic Charismatics, and eventually, the Lord took me around to Christianity 101, and then I landed in the Messianic Jewish movement.
Awesome. Hey, Sue Ellen, we are out of time, but what an amazing story. The God of Israel confirming to you the fundamental truths of Scripture and who he is, but saying there's more than you had in the synagogue, then your spiritual search, and then ultimately Jesus, Yeshua, resonating in every part of your body based on the truth of the Scripture and the Spirit working in your life. What an awesome story. Thank you for sharing that. I deeply appreciate it. All right. The Holy Spirit drawing Jewish people to himself. I'm going to talk about this spirituality thing in Jews on the other side of the break. Keith Winston-Salem, I will try to get to your question as well. Friends, we do our best to put out resources that can really help you, that will answer questions you have wrestled with for years and help you answer questions of others. So I've got a special announcement. Stay tuned. I want to talk about getting some of these resources in your hands that will help you as a Jewish believer and help you reach Jewish people with the gospel. Stay tuned.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, what a joy to be talking to you today about why I, as a Jew, believe in Jesus Yeshua as the Messiah. Just touching the surface. 866-34-TRUTH, number to join in. That's 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Have you visited the website? No, you haven't? All right. Go to AskDrBrown.org. First thing, click to receive our e-blasts so we can tell you about special shows. We can tell you about latest articles, new messages. It's a great resource, okay? Then explore. Go to the free online resources. Hundreds of hours of messages, preaching, teaching that'll edify you, stir you, equip you for revival, for Jesus revolution, for things pertaining to Israel, for your own spiritual growth. Then click on Real Messiah. Those are our resources for Jewish outreach and to help equip you there and edify you there. Think It Through, that's our Jewish outreach documentary TV show. We've got a bunch of episodes you can watch online. Those still air internationally. Line of Fire, our radio show. Fire School of Ministry, a unique place for training, equipping. It's all there on the website, so explore. Dive in. Voice of Revolution, our online magazine with free articles, tremendous articles on a wide range of subjects. So dive in. Look, a lot of us spend a lot of time online and waste a lot of time. If you're going to be online, use the time constructively. All right? And if you're online, order a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. But order on Amazon. Yeah, our ministry could get more income if you order through us, but we're trying to get the book out to reach more people. All right? So talking about why I, as a Jew, believe in Jesus, I'm going to give you a list of things in a moment, but let me grab a call first. Keith in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, thanks for taking me, Dr. Brown.
You bet.
There is something I wanted to ask you, because I know that you have been fighting for a long time to get your Jewish brethren to believe in Jesus as the Messiah. And I was curious, wanted to ask you if in any of your debates or in any of the times you've been talking to your Jewish brethren, if Jesus was not the true Messiah, then why in the some 2,000 years that it's been since he ascended, has God not raised up a prophet to prophesy against him and say that he was not the true Messiah?
Yeah, Keith, it's a great question. Here, this would be the Jewish answer. They would say we don't need a prophet to identify a false prophet. The Torah identifies things for us. A traditional Jew would say that God said it to us in the Torah, in Deuteronomy 13th chapter, that if someone comes, dreams a dream, gives a prophecy, works a miracle, and then says, follow other gods, that neither you nor... Whoa, all right. I'm answering Keith there, so keep listening, buddy. I guess we just lost the phone connection. That's what it sounds like to me, unless Keith's voice suddenly morphed to a busy signal or something. But a traditional Jew would say, we don't believe in Jesus. We don't need a prophet to tell us not to believe, because the Torah, which is our foundational revelation, we're used to that revolution word, our foundational revelation tells us why not to believe and how to recognize a false prophet. They would say that according to Torah, anyone, miracle worker, prophet who comes along and works a miracle or gives a prophetic sign and then says, follow other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, stone that person. They're a false prophet. You're being tested by the Lord your God to see if you'd really cleave to him. So a Jew would say, we don't care how many miracles Jesus worked or how many miracles his followers work. And of course, they're normally not around those miracles, so it's easier said than done, right, to deny them. But we don't care about that because we have the testimony of Torah, and he was a lawbreaker, or he taught his followers to break the law, or he said to follow other gods, or his followers have created a religion to follow other gods, therefore we don't follow it. Our answer, of course, is to say no. He didn't abolish or break the law. He brought it to its full expression. That's one. Two, he pointed all attention to his Father, God, and we simply come to know God's complex unity and how God pitched his tent among us through the person of Yeshua. But he absolutely did not say follow other gods. And therefore, rather than the Torah being against him, the Torah is for him. We lay all that out in our Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus series. We also have a DVD course that you can get. Your whole congregation, church, Bible study, school can watch it together. So those resources are available online, AskDrBrown.org. And we'll give you a number to call at the end of the show. By the way, we welcome your support as monthly torchbearers. If I have a fault about money, it's that I hardly bring it up. But this is a listener-supported program. We would love to have you as a monthly torchbearer and hold our hands up as we reach out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We're on the front lines, friends. We are doing stuff by God's grace that many others are not able to do. We've got the resources. We have the open doors. I've debated rabbis from did an outreach lecture at Hebrew University last year, done debates with rabbis at places like Oxford University. I mean, just wide open doors to share the truth of the gospel. So if you'd like to stand with us, and there are special benefits for our monthly supporters where we bless you in turn, give us a call at 800-278-9978. 800-278-9978. Become a torchbearer. Take advantage of our specially discounted Jewish resources. Friends, bottom line, no other worthy messianic candidates have arisen in the last 2,000 years. And the positive world influence of Yeshua the Jew totally dwarfs the positive world influence of every other alleged messianic candidate. Yeshua fulfilled the essential prophecies that had a definite time frame and had to be completed before the Second Temple was destroyed. It's not a matter of speculation. It's a matter of historical fact. And since he fulfilled the past prophecies, coming as our great high priest, making atonement for our sins, we can be sure that he will fulfill the future prophecies, reigning as the worldwide king and bringing peace to the earth. He identifies with us in our suffering. For most of our history, we've been cast out, despised, rejected, misunderstood. That's a picture of our Messiah, too. Yeshua is the ultimate example of the suffering, persecuted Jew. He's not only one of us, he is one with us. 100,000, maybe 200,000 Jews worldwide recognize Yeshua as the Messiah, including a rapidly growing underground movement of Orthodox and Hasidic Jews. Maybe you're one of them who are convinced by the scriptures that he is the one. Messianic Jews can no longer be ignored or disregarded. Every day, thousands of people around the world are coming to the God of Israel through him. It's only through Yeshua, Jesus, that we, the Jewish people, can fulfill our calling to be a light to the world and a priestly nation. It's only through him we can receive forgiveness of sins without a sacrificial system and come into intimate knowledge of God. Here is my bottom line, friends. There are scores and scores and scores of sound biblical reasons for every Jew in the world to follow Jesus as Messiah. There is not one biblical reason not to follow him. And through embracing him, we become a light to the world. Through embracing him, we take the knowledge of God to the ends of the earth. Through embracing him, not only are our own sins forgiven, but we can take the message of forgiveness to Jews and Gentiles around the world. That is the work, the mission of Messiah. We become co-laborers with him. Awesome. Friends, tomorrow you've got questions. We've got answers here on the Line of Fire. Don't forget to go to Amazon.com, order your copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America Today. Let this book rock the nation. Together, we can make a difference. And stand with us, partner with us, 800-278-9978. Back with you tomorrow.